Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Earlier this year, a new study shed light on a serious health concern for black women, a link between hair straightening products and several types of cancer. Well, during tonight's Medical Monday conversation, we're going to talk to a pair of experts about this issue, and we're going to tell you what you need to know. My guests are Dr. Sarah Horton, oncologist and associate professor at the Howard University School of Medicine, and Dr. Melanie Macklin, research and development dermatologist. If you have a comment or a question about this, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Horton, Dr. Macklin, thank you both for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Dr. Macklin, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Harold, and the Daily Drum team. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to both of you. Dr. Horton, let me start with you. This most recent study talks about parabens, and specifically a link between parabens and breast cancer. But in looking through the information about this particular issue, I've discovered that this is not a new concern, that this has been a concern in the medical community for many, many years. What's new?
Yes. We know that some chemicals are what we consider carcinogenic or things that may trigger changes that could lead to cancer in our cells. And so parabens, we know, can be found in a lot of products that that we use on our body, you know, lotions and all. We know from just even animal studies, that's where most of the information starts, in finding that some animals develop cancer when exposed to chemicals, that these chemicals may be chemicals that could do similar things in humans, but it hasn't been totally proven. And that's what I think we're trying to do with these studies now, try to make a more direct link between some of these chemicals so that we can be more forceful about restricting them.
Mm-hmm. Is there a direct link? Because as you know, particularly as it relates to breast cancer, black women are more susceptible to developing developing breast cancer compared to their white counterparts.
Yeah, so parabens are involved in the endocrine system, and one of the things that we know is that some of the endocrine, the hormones in the bodies, can stimulate certain types of breast cancers. And so I think that's where why a lot of attention has been put on parabens as well. There hasn't been anything found that can say that parabens directly cause or are a major contributor to causing cancer that they can identify and, you know, say, yes, this is it. But there have been many studies that have, like this study, shown a relationship between the development of cancer, and then when you look at the patients who develop cancer, a lot of them have given information that they use products that have parabens in them. Mm-hmm. So you make that assumption that there's a link, but we just don't know how that link works yet.
But there also, according to this new information, concern about not just breast cancer, but also ovarian cancer and uterine cancer. Your thoughts about that? And should black women who use some of these hair straightening products, particularly those who have been using these products for years and years and years, be concerned?
You know, my short answer is yes. And I'll tell you why. Sometimes it takes a long, long time to find out the exact link and cause. But if you look back and, you know, you're retrospectoscope, there's a lot of smoke when you finally find that fire.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we, this study that recently showed this relationship between uterine cancer and the hair straighteners, was something called the sister study that's been going on at the NIH, at the National Institutes of Health, since about 2004, 2005. So this is a study of over 50,000 women, and they call it the sister study because these women all had a sister who had breast cancer. And so what they were really trying to do in the study when they first started it was to try to find out things that were associated in their lives with women that might cause them to be at a higher risk for developing breast cancer. So they already had a little bit of a higher risk because they had a sister with breast cancer. So they had shared maybe some shared genes. They had shared experiences, shared environments. So they followed these women and they gathered all of this information every year or two where they asked them, you know, what products do you use? What do you eat? You know, so that as they went forward prospectively, they could look and follow these women. And when they started developing medical problems, they had all this information about them that they could help see if there was a link to something that these women had in common who were developing cancer. So these women were not, this study was not a study of all black women. Unfortunately, like most studies, of the 50,000, probably I think it was like 9% were black.
Mm-hmm.
So about 4,000 women. Another plug to, you know, if we can get involved with these studies, that's how we find out this information. And, you know, this is a study where all you had to do was give information.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting now to learn about this. But just to fast forward, the first information that came out was about breast cancer in relationship with permanent dyes and hair strengtheners back in 2019. And it showed that there may be an increased risk in breast cancer based on these women who were developing breast cancer in the study. You know, come this year, they started identifying that there was an increased risk of uterine cancer in these women. And so they started again to look at relationships, and they have all this information. So they're looking at not only chemicals in the hair, they're looking at what they eat, what they do, how they exercise, trying to find strong, common
threads.
Factors.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That would be a signal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what popped up.
Dr. Macklin, as I said in the beginning, this issue in its totality is not new. This is something that you, as a dermatologist, is something that you have had some concerns about for a long time. Why?
Oh, absolutely, Harold. This, anyone that knows me, since the year 2000, as the medical director of Hype Hair Magazine, which is one of the largest African-American magazines in the country, I have been able to talk to personally on the calls, on emails, and you name it, talking to women about their issues with hair loss. And in our conversations of talking about hair loss and diving deeper, not only was I hearing about hair loss thinning and balding, and especially in the crown top of the scalp, but Harold, we were also hearing about fibroids and infertility and breast cancer. And I trained at Howard University under the direction of Dr. LaSalle LaFall, and he was a prominent breast cancer surgeon there at Howard University. And when I did my training in the early 90s, we were not talking about breast cancer being common amongst women of color. And it was to my shocking surprise, and starting in the year 2000, I'm hearing from women from the magazines, you name it, talking about, Dr. Macklin, can I do this? Can I take these hair supplements? Because I just finished chemotherapy from my breast cancer. And I was getting this on a regular basis. I was hearing women with iron deficiency anemia from fibroids. And I'm saying something is really suspicious here. And honestly, that continued ongoing information from hundreds of thousands of women, you all, there became this correlation that I'm hearing. And I was pleasantly surprised. Of course, we're sad when we hear about any sort of health-related issues, but in 2011, when there was a published scientific study talking about the relationship of hair chemicals and fibroids in women of color, that was, to be exact, came out in February of 2012. And then furthering on, I said, wait a minute, something is really going on here, because, of course, we can speculate, but until the scientific studies come out, then that's when we can say, okay, we have something here. So I have been really saying, this is a suspicion, sounding the alarm. And so, of course, in 2019, the NIH study, this is the same team that pretty much used all of this information that Dr. Horton just mentioned, where there was a 45% increased risk of breast cancer in women of color that use permanent hair dyes and relaxers. Now here we are in 2022 with the risk, 4% risk of women with black women and uterine cancer and hair relaxers, particularly not associated with hair dyes or anything else in this particular study. So yes, I feel now, you all, after over two decades of preaching this information and saying now we have relevant, scientifically proven information for us to be cautious. Hmm. And my advocacy is to protect us women of color in our health and hair health issues. Hmm. So I am happy that now the alarm has been sounded, because more importantly, we have to sound the alarm to our mothers to protect our young girls in an effort to reduce their future risk. Okay. Of any sort of cancer.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about hair straightening products and a link to several types of cancer in black women. This is our Medical Monday conversation. If you have a comment or question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. Cheyenne calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Cheyenne. What's on your mind? Cheyenne, are you there? Go right ahead.
Okay.
And turn your radio down, but go right ahead.
Okay. I was diagnosed in 2020 with breast cancer, and to my knowledge, I'm the first one in my family. And I've been reading the articles here recently and even listening to you all now on the air, the hair loss. So I've had or experienced the thinning and the hair loss and all of that prior to the breast cancer diagnosis. So I've stage two, totally shocked and blown away, because I've never had an abnormal mammogram. So this came as a total shock to me. So when they told me we need to do a biopsy, and I'm like, I don't have breast cancer. These things always come back normal. But lo and behold, I had breast cancer. So I am year out. I've had a lumpectomy, and I had the treatment and all of that. And so I go back this year to get my one-year mammogram done. Lo and behold, here come the extra technicians and nurses again, and I have another growth. So I need to have another biopsy done, and I'm still using relaxers. So I had the biopsy. No. It was benign. So now I'm wondering, you know, I'm hearing the stories, I'm seeing it in print, and I'm wondering if this is where it's all coming from.
Dr. Horton, can you address what Cheyenne is sharing with us, please?
Yes, and I'm sorry that you are having to go through this. I'm hearing this story more and more, and unfortunately hearing it a lot in African-American women, too, especially because, you know, we're finding that we use more products, more chemicals on our hair than other patient populations. I think that we know that lots of things that we're exposed to may contribute to the development of cancer. But what I tend to say is when we identify something that we really are starting to acknowledge may contribute towards a cancer. So I'm saying that it's probably not the one thing, but it may be, in your case, an important part of why these cells in the breast are starting to develop abnormally. And so I would recommend not using relaxers on your hair. Our scalps are one of the most vascular places. That means that things absorb into them very easily compared to other parts of our body. We know when we use relaxers, you can get burns or you scratch your head, which again allows things to absorb more easily into our bodies. And so, you know, just kind of knowing that and then knowing that these chemicals are dangerous, it probably wouldn't hurt to kind of stay away from those. And those, and also with permanent dyes, you know, this article that came out recently was about uterine cancer and hair straighteners, but we also know that permanent dyes from that same study years ago showed that there was a significant, especially in African-American women, they increased 60% the risk of breast cancer using permanent dyes, and white women had an 8% increased risk. And you know, that to me, again, is a really strong, strong message to stay away from permanent dyes.
Thank you so much, Cheyenne, for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is our Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about the studies that are linking hair straightening products with several types of cancer in black women. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Melvin calling from St. Louis. We're going to talk to you in a bit, so please do not hang up. We will get to your phone call and anyone else who is calling in at the moment. We're going to take a quick break, but don't forget, you can hear this and every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on our website, whur.com. Don't forget, you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We continue this conversation on SiriusXM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is our Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about a new study that is shedding light on serious health concerns for black women, specifically the link between hair straightening products and several types of cancer. My guests are Dr. Sarah Horton, oncologist and associate professor at the Howard University School of Medicine, and Dr. Melanie Macklin, research and development dermatologist. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Melvin, calling from St. Louis, Missouri. Melvin, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, yes. Thank you for having me on the show.
Sure.
I remember seeing a movie several years ago, a documentary by Chris Rock talking about good hair.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one extremely beautiful dermatologist talking about the risk that black women go through that costs them their hair. And it's a shame that the risk that they go through to cost them their hair and also cost them their health. I am a plastic and reconstructive surgeon in the St. Louis area. I'm an assistant professor with the St. Louis University Department of Plastic Surgery, and I take care of a fair number of women with breast cancer, and young women, young African American women with breast cancer. And you know, they come in with no history, with no family history, negative gene workup, and they're struck with a disease that's devastating. And unfortunately, thankfully, breast cancer affects black women less frequently, but when it does, it's a much higher severity and a much higher mortality rate. So you're seeing young women and families and mothers being torn apart by cancer. So I'm very grateful that not only is the link, and we have a somewhat of a causative link to identify it, but additionally, with the current push towards aesthetics, being towards more natural hair, more shorter hair, a less emphasis on the Eurocentric standard of beauty, it's going to have less of a desire to use the toxic chemicals associated with dyeing and straightening hair.
Well, Melvin, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts about that. I appreciate your input into this conversation. Let me ask, you know, Dr. Macklin, to his point, Yes, we have seen a move over, I would say, perhaps the past 20 years, maybe even 25, 30, I don't know. For, you know, more natural hairstyles. I mean, it was obviously, you know, we can talk about what we saw during the late 60s and 70s with, you know, afros, you know, and the like, you know, the Angela Davis afro. My mother did it, and then she cut all of her hair off, and she still looks cute. I'm sure she's listening, but I'm not saying that just because.
Oh, she looks fabulous, Harold.
Yeah, thank you. But I think to that point, two points. First, these products are still being sold.
Yeah.
So someone is buying them. And secondly, if you're talking about a link, particularly when you're talking about a sister study, not the sister study, but a study that talks about a family link to, for example, breast cancer or other kinds of cancers in Black women. These products have been used for generations. One may want to assume that if my grandmama used it and my mama used it and I'm using it, there may be the possibility that there may be a link. But the other side of that, I would argue, is that, as we know with smoking, you know, for example, there's definitely a direct link between, you know, cigarette smoking and lung cancer. But then there are those who get lung cancer without ever having taken a puff.
Yeah.
So this may be, I say this, Dr. Horton, to say this may be confusing to a lot of people, because we can also talk about what? Health disparities, diet, obesity, lack of exercise, or poor diet and lack of exercise. So what do we do with this information, Dr. Horton?
Well, what you're saying is exactly true, is that there's a lot of information coming at us from a lot of directions in terms of our body and what it's doing to us, the good and the bad, and how do we decide what we're going to cut out and what we're going to keep in. And what I tend to do is, when I speak about things like this article that came out, and we're having this discussion, and Dr. Macklin has had this experience as well, about what we're finding out about these chemicals and how seriously the repercussions could be if it were true. So I kind of weigh this in, okay? So we're talking about chemicals that we use on our hair that it's a kind of an elective thing. We don't have to do it, but we're finding data that shows it could cause a life-ending illness, cancer. It can happen at young ages. We're finding it's not just one study. It's, you know, several times they've looked at a study that has thousands and thousands of women, which makes it more likely that what we're looking at is kind of may be true. So then I, in my mind, I've probably made up my decision already, but especially when I talk to, you know, people, family, patients, whomever, I try to also talk about options. And so if you have a scenario like this and there are other things that you could do, as you said, women are moving, you know, at warp speed away from chemically straightening hair, natural hair, with the Crown Act and the push for acceptance as something that's professional has really made a difference in, I think, women feeling more comfortable not having to straighten their hair.
Or they may choose other forms, such as hot combs, blow dryers, hot presses, and the like, because weaves. So let's not get it twisted like that Afrocentric hairstyle. We do see still all kinds of hairstyles that that are long and straight. I don't know how many horses have been killed if you walk down the street looking at hair down the backs of these women. You know your mama's hair wasn't looking like that.
Yeah.
And so I think, I agree that they may be getting away from some of the chemicals, but they still want that hairstyle, you know, Dr. Macklin.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, Harold. We still, you know, we're still women of color, and our hair is our crown, our glory, mm-hmm. you know, so we're not going to walk out of our front door looking nothing less than as great and fabulous that we want to. But we also have to be very cautious as to those of us that are still exposing our scalp. Our scalp, as Dr. Horde mentioned earlier, is the most very highly vascular, very rich blood supply. So when we're applying these straightening products particularly, they actually burn through the scalp. I was actually the hair expert in the Chris Rock film, and he actually pegged me out to specifically talk about what these chemicals are doing to the scalp and how we need to keep these off of the little girls, especially. He didn't want those products on his little girl's hair.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that these chemicals, scalp chemicals, are getting through the scalp, they're getting into the bloodstream. We know that because when you feel the burn, you feel the burn because the burn is, you feel it because the nerves are activated. And the nerves run neck and neck in our bodies with the arteries and the veins. So, of course, if the nerves are feeling it, heck, you know that the blood vessels are feeling it too. And so basically those blood vessels are getting the exposure to the chemical and potentially causing these endocrine disrupting chemicals in our system that are adversely affecting the reproductive and hormonal system, thus relating to the fibroids, to the infertility, to the early menses and puberty before the age of 10, through the early hysterectomy before women are 40, through now what we know to the breast cancer and now the uterine cancer. So the scalp getting these abrasions, it makes it more susceptible for these harsh multitude of chemicals, because we're not just using one chemical relaxer. We're using that. We're using maybe another type of, we're using the box perms from the grocery store that we could easily have access to. We're going to the salons and we're getting the ones that have sodium hydroxide that are the lye relaxers, the ones at the grocery stores and retail shops and where you can buy on your own. Heck, your 10-year-old daughter can go into the store and buy these harsh chemicals. So I say this, you all, manufacturers know that there's a likelihood of high potential of adverse health effects on the hair and the health. They've known this for years.
Yeah.
And I'm saddened by the increased risk and the cancers and the uterine cancers and the breast. It saddened my heart because, once again, this has been my passion. And I'm hoping that the manufacturers out here now are realizing, wow, you know what, let's stop making these things, because if we keep making them, the people think that it's still safe to use, okay? They can change any marketing language, you all, that they want to on these products, and we'll believe it. We'll make the colors change. We'll make the kitty perms, all these colors popping, and everybody's thinking that it's still okay out here to use these harsh chemicals, but yet we have to understand, we have to get the education, and we have to keep advocating for change.
Let me go back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Alisa calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for discussing this topic, and we need to have more of these type of conversations. In 2019, I was diagnosed with uterine cancer. It was the scariest news I ever received in my life. And this is not something that I have a family history of, but I can tell you from just even being starting out as a teenager, I've always gotten relaxers. And to hear the conversation that's happening now about there's a link to relaxers and cancer, it's a scary thing, and I think it's very irresponsible of manufacturers to not do enough testing to know that this is a possibility. And I understand that there are different environmental factors that can happen, But when you turn on the internet and you're on Instagram or Facebook and you're seeing all these conversations about, you know, African-American women who are using relaxers and they're coming up with cancer, and to know that I'm in that statistic now, it's disheartening. And, you know, you trust that when you buy a product, you don't think that you're going to risk your life.
Yeah.
You know, to straighten your hair. But I will tell you, this is a conversation that I am more vocal about, because I think that we need to alert other women of what's happening.
Yes, absolutely. And Alisa, thank you so much for sharing your story, and we wish you only the best of health. Let me go to Wanda, calling from Upper Marlboro. Wanda, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold.
Hi.
You know, I want to apologize for my voice, but I'm just curious. Maybe I missed something. First, I just want to just voice my question, and then I'll just get off. I didn't understand, like, you know, I've been getting a relaxer in my hair since I was 2. Maybe not that young, but, you know, it's just been what I did since I was a teenager. And, I mean, my hair is really, really, really coarse. And so, you know, I've tried to go natural several times. I've cut all my hair off and tried to go natural, but I'm also tender-headed. And so trying to, maybe I just need the right stylist, I don't know. But, you know, a relaxer has just been part of my life for my entire adult life.
Hmm.
And so I don't understand, like, why it's, you know, I did get out of the car, so I may have missed this. But
no, that's all right. Go ahead and ask your question. That's quite all right.
Why is it a problem? How does it, how are you getting cancer from the product? And I did hear that there was a study, and I want to know, like, were there other factors in the study that, you know, could have been perhaps a factor?
Wanda, let me see what Dr. Horton can briefly revisit this issue, and we don't mind. Obviously, this is a medical concern. This is a health concern, and so no, we don't mind going over what you may have missed. So, Dr. Horton, please.
Yes. So that's a question that a lot of women have asked, because, you know, they're hearing this. And like you said, you know, some women have to make a major change in their life to not use a relaxer and really want to make sure that, you know, what they're doing is going to make a difference. So whenever a study is done, this study specifically was trying to identify factors that may contribute to cancer when it was started. So it had a goal of collecting as much information about the people who are in the study, about what they do, what they put in their body, what they use on their body and their hair, and without knowing what they were going to find. And so the way the statistics are used in these big studies is that they have a way of knowing that if you look at all this information and you find people are developing, you know, whatever problem you're looking at, and this one was cancer development, you look at that group who developed the cancer, and then you look at all that data you've collected, and you know that there's a certain statistical level of, if something happened, if there are this number of people who have the same thing in common, that common factor may be related to the development of the cancer. And it's, you know, it's statistics. It's hard for me to explain exactly how the statistical model is set up, but we call them independent factors. And when you identify, so the studies are set up to know that there's a lot of things going on, but they know when a signal comes up with one thing in common, they feel confident that it may be related to the fact that the outcome that's developing, i.e. the cancer, may be related. Mm-hmm. And What that does is it gives us information to do more studies, to look a little closer now. The next step is to start looking at the things, the chemicals that are in the products, and trying to find, you know, ways to determine what those products do to our cells, how they damage it. Are we finding those types of damaged cells in the body of the people who are developing cancer? So it's a starting point for the researchers to take a deeper dive.
And Dr. Macklin, Wanda is not alone when she talks about using chemical relaxers on her hair since she was a little girl. I mean, that's, you know, that, I mean, that we know.
We've all been there.
Yeah, we know that, you know, we know that that has happened for those for those men who never got it, you know, fried, dyed, laid to the side. We know women who did. And and so I think her concern is, she said her hair is coarse.
And I can help Wanda.
Yeah. So just briefly, just real briefly, because I've got to get back to the phone calls.
Wanda, I understand what you're saying, baby girl, okay? And what happens is the harsh chemicals that are in relaxers absorb through that highly blood vessel-rich scalp. It gets into the bloodstream, and it causes endocrine hormonal disruption. That's just the way that these things happen. However, I understand what you're saying, so this is the solution. You have the hair that you need to relax, so guess what? We're going to get some thick petroleum jelly base, some sort of heavy base thick product that you can apply throughout your entire scalp prior to your application of whatever relaxer that you're using to reduce the absorption through that thick scalp to reduce the risk of that product getting into your bloodstream. So we're going to coat that whole scalp very great, because the over-the-counter products will say, just coat the hairline, okay? That is all wrong. We've got to protect the entire scalp. So you can safely still use your relaxer by coating the entire scalp with some sort of thick petroleum-based product to reduce that absorption, and that should help. But if you do have some risk factors and some symptoms, want to check with your doctor if you're having some endocrine or reproductive issues. Just be safe about whatever hair practice that you do, and you're going to be okay and still be cute and fancy, okay?
My last question is,
real quick,
certain brands that we should
you
avoid?
You can use some white petroleum Vaseline, white petroleum jelly, doesn't matter.
The relaxers is what I'm saying.
Whatever your choice.
Than others?
Yeah, well, certainly the Noli, which is the calcium, lithium, or guanine-based hydroxide products, versus the sodium hydroxide, which is the lye. They're more caustic. They burn well more into that epidermis and dermal, the deeper layers of the scalp. So you want to select something that's a no-lye, and in that category is, once again, the calcium, lithium, or guanine. But you're going to just protect that entire scalp with the heavy, thick, white petroleum-based ointment.
Let me ask you something, though, Wanda. It appears to me that you have an affinity for having your hair relaxed. Just no judgment, but why?
So, like I said previously, I have very coarse hair, and I'm tenderheaded. It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to the salon, it's embarrassing. I literally cry because I'm so crazy tenderheaded.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a relaxer because it's easier to manage. Mm-hmm. And I have, you know, much more flexibility in the style.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to put it. It's just easier to manage.
Yeah.
A really quick question. Have you tried, you know, because heat can help to straighten hair and make it more manageable when it's contained. They can help it contain more when it's done more frequently, and it's less damaging. Of course, it's not going to absorb through the scalp. So have you tried that method before where you can get a silk press, and if you do it on a regular basis, like at least every 2 weeks or so, your hair can become, it can loosen the curl, but not, it won't take away that permanent stripping of your sulfur bonds that cause the coarseness in hair, but it's safer. Have you thought about that?
So with that, that does work, and that works for about a day, but the first Peloton and all of that,
or rain,
the money
that I spent
goes out the window.
Yeah.
And it's extremely expensive to go to the salon because they actually charge me extra because I'm so tender at it.
Yeah.
This has been just my only option, and
I think
our white petroleum jelly and coat the scalp wand every time you go to the salon, and that at least will reduce the absorption.
Yeah, and we could, you know, Dr. Horton, Dr. Macklin, and of course Wanda and all of the women listening, we could do an entire show on some of the difficult decisions that women will have to make outside of this health question about how and why they style their hair the way they do, and whether it's, you know, whether you have a sensitive scalp, whether or not you prefer to have your hair straightened as opposed to natural or curly or perhaps kinky. I mean, we could talk about that for 24 hours because it's a thing. Say again.
As a male host of that, Harold, you would be absolutely phenomenal.
I don't know about that. I like it natural. So they're not going to sell out arenas. Yeah, I don't know. But look, Wanda, take care of your health and your hair, and I appreciate your conversation. 202-319-7810. Jean calling from Greenville, North Carolina. Jean, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
So I've noticed here in a lot of states, the Crown Act is still, you know, we're fighting that. I've worked with a lot of 20-year-olds and I'm older than they are, but that I think also plays a factor, and that's where they wear some of the hairstyles that they do wear. And I think it's sad that it's gone that way. My daughter went to Howard, and she was like, no, get away from the perms, and I'm grateful that she did. Unfortunately, I still have lost my hair this year and been to a dermatologist that has told me nothing about why I lost it. I think I've sat with the dermatologist for like 5 minutes. But get back to my point. The Crown Act is something that's very, very prevalent and why women aren't being natural. It's not acceptable in this state. I see more women doing it now, but we're considered not as attractive or we're not well kept, and it's unfortunate, but that is society. That's the way it's put out to us now. I mean, if your hair is, you know, you've got the, you know, where you can get the cute curls, I'm probably a 4C, you know, it's like
a what,
you know, it's hard to the 4C where it's coarse.
Okay,
and that's fine. But if I would have to say in the working world what I'm working at right now, I'm not sure would it be acceptable. Would I be accepted the same way? Even though I do not perm it, I do other alternative methods, but I don't think I would be perceived or taken as the person that I am in the environment that I'm working in. And that prevents a lot of women from getting away from perm.
Well, let me say this, and I think you make, you know, an excellent point about the different kinds of thoughts depending on whether you live in a big city, whether you live in the South, whether you live in rural communities, whether you live where, if you live around a place where there isn't the kind of of dense black thought, such as a Howard University. And right. So, yes, your daughter's very blessed to come here and to have that kind of influence. But having lived in other parts of the country, I think you're absolutely right that it is not always accepted. And we're not talking about white people. We're talking about black people.
Yeah,
who may not, Sister Sarah, who sits on the second pew at the Greenville Baptist Church, is going. It may come up to you and say, "What's going on with your hair?"
Exactly.
So I think that this is one of the. It's a long conversation. It requires, no pun intended, it requires a lot of growth. But I think for today's conversation, outside of the style and everything else, the reality is, and you can, tell me if I'm overstepping here, Dr. Horton, is that while there's a lot that you don't know, that black women may have to make some decisions about, going forward about their use of chemicals on their hair.
Especially if they're trying to get into a role in an administration or corporate world, it seems a little bit harder for us to get into those roles being natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, like I said, it depends on where you live. Lots of lawyers here in D.C. where they could go in with inch long hair. Or, an afro or twists, and if they perform, it doesn't matter. But then you go into some areas that may be, I guess, air quotes, more traditional in how they look at, black women and styles that may not fly. But again, I think overall the health issue is the thing that first must be addressed. Jean, thank you so much for
if
your...
If you guys know of any dermatologist in Greenville, I would love to have an African-American dermatologist here.
Okay, real quick, I've got 10 seconds. Dr. Macklin, where can she look for a black dermatologist? Anywhere.
Yes, actually, if you can email me through my drmacklin.com, I can direct you to someone there.
I'll make sure that it's on the website. It'll be on the website. Dr. Sarah Horton, Dr. Melanie Macklin, thank you so much for your input and insight into this really important conversation. I appreciate you talking to us.
Happy holidays.
Same to you. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, December 12th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.